From NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up on the road again, Day to Day contributing writer David Was on living out a rocker's fantasy. Get the band back together and head on out.
First, some reality. The international food crisis. There are increasing fears that fast rising food prices will lead to starvation for some of the world's poorest people. Riots in Haiti over food brought down the government there. At a big conference in Ghana, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said high food costs could wipe out all the progress that development projects try to achieve.
Anuradha Mittal is director of a progressive think tank that follows food policy. It's called the Oakland Institute. She spoke to us earlier from a studio in Oxford, England. Anuradha, thank you for being with us. How is it that this comes about? Food prices have been stable for so long, or relatively so.
Well, actually, a lot of reasons are being thrown out for increase in food prices. We have heard climate change to increasing appetites of China and India to, of course, biofuels. But these are short-term reasons, and one of the reasons that we're not hearing is liberalization of trade agriculture. And it is very interesting that to deal with the food price crisis, IMF and World Bank heads are talking about further trade liberalization, removal of trade barriers. And it is exactly these trade barriers which were removed which allowed a handful of northern countries to capture third world markets.
Well, if a farmer in, say, Indonesia has been growing a paddy of rice for 20 years, and there's a market for that rice locally, why doesn't that market persist even if someone's selling American-grown corn down the street?
It's not just corn that is being exported from the United States. Basically, now it is free trade in agriculture in all commodities, and rice is one of them. So you also find rice being dumped in countries such as Indonesia at below the cost of production. And that has basically led to farmers losing their local markets, their regional markets. And what it really means for them then is basically displacement from land.
So you're saying that local production of rice doesn't exist anymore because those farmers have been driven off their land by cheaper subsidized rice from elsewhere?
Oh, definitely. They have been deeply impacted, and it is across the border. Basically, this removal of trade barriers has led to serious import surges in third world countries. You can take the case of Ghana, where the reduced rice tariff from 100 to 20% resulted basically in rice imports increasing from 250,000 tons in 1998 to over 415,000 tons in 2003. And nearly 66% of the rice farmers were reporting, you know, very low returns or even talked about losing employment.
The Chicago Board of Trade rice futures, this basic kind of commodity market, last week hit an all-time price high, twice the prices of a year ago for rice futures. Is that all tied together in this? Because this is, we're talking about rice prices here in the United States.
On one hand, the price crisis that we are seeing is this whole speculation where we are seeing financial markets and financial traders investing money after the burst of the housing bubble into the commodities market. But at the same time, many of us who would think that this means good news for farmers and increased prices would mean better livelihoods for farmers, actually, this money is being made by the traders who are making the profits.
There was a report over the weekend, a couple of them, that some large groceries in Northern California have started rationing rice purchases, one large bag per customer.
It is possible, as many of the exporting countries, because they have to meet the internal demands, for example, India or Vietnam, they have placed export bans so they can fulfill the needs in the country itself.
And I've seen economists writing about this in the last week, saying when countries stop exporting rice because they're afraid that it will be too expensive domestically and cause trouble there, that creates its own problems, its own kind of disruptions in all sorts of things.
Well, in the short term, there will be disruptions, but I think countries have no choice left. But given that they are facing the threat of destabilization and they have to meet internal needs, and once again, it's the principle of freedom to trade versus freedom from hunger. So instead of basically market taking care of it all, I think third world countries are waking up to the fact that they need to protect their own farmers and their own agricultural markets.
Anuradha Mittal, director of a food policy think tank, the Oakland Institute, speaking with us from Oxford, England. Anuradha, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.